May we be helped to commence our weeknight service by singing together hymn number 1. Hymn number 1 to tune score 240. Great God, how infinite art thou! What worthless worms are we! Let the whole race of creatures bow and pay their praise to thee. Nature and time quite naked lie to thy immense survey, from the formation of the sky to the great burning day. Our lives through various scenes are drawn, and vexed with trifling cares, while thy eternal thought moves on by undisturbed affairs. Hymn number 1, tune score 240.
Yeah. May the Lord help us to read together this evening. In the Word of God, we turn to the second epistle to the Corinthians. And we read chapter 12 and chapter 13. The 12th and 13th chapters in the second epistle to the Corinthians. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things dearly beloved for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. This is the third time I am coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you, Ward, is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. May the Lord own and bless the reading from his holy word. And may the Lord lead us and guide us and direct us now in prayer. O Lord, thou who didst declare that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Oh, do grant to us now a true spirit of prayer and the grace of supplication, that we may be enabled to make known our requests, Lord, to thee. How dependent, Lord, we are upon thee, the God of all grace, the God of all mercies, the God of all truth. And Lord, we would join with the hymn writer in the opening hymn, Great God, how infinite art thou, what worthless worms are we. And Lord, in our reading now, and we knew not what the first hymn would be, the apostle declares, though I be nothing, nothing in self, but all in the Lord. And so, Lord, we would bow before thee now in reverence and in godly fear. For thou art the eternal God, from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God eternally and blessedly the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And we would acknowledge with gratitude past mercies, favours, blessings, and thy remembrance of us in our low estate, and would rejoice because thou art the same. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and be with us now through the remainder of this day. We would pray, and as the two on the Emmaus Road, as they constrain thee, Lord, oh, the day is so spent. It is now toward evening. And Lord, this day is so spent. It is toward evening. Oh, that thou wouldest tarry and turn in and tarry with us, Lord, in thy house, and make thyself known. unto us in the breaking of the bread of life. O Lord, abide with us, we beseech of thee. Remain with us, leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. And so, Lord, we thank thee for bringing us once again into this honoured house of God. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with us each this night. Give to the dear friends the hearing ear of faith. Give to me the tongue of the learned, that I may be enabled to speak a word in season to him that is weary. May the service this night and all the services of the sanctuary be a means of grace as we wait upon thee. For thou doth give grace for grace. And Lord, we need more grace. We feel the need of it. And thou art able to bestow this wonderful, divine, spiritual blessing to us to enable us to continue by the grace of God to press toward the mark, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, we thank thee for the means of grace, the house of God, the place where thine honour dwelleth, where thou dost reign, Lord Jesus, as King on Zion's hill. O the kingdom of thy grace, Lord, how wonderful it is in this time state, this sin-cursed world, where Satan, who is the god of this world, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We are exhorted, Lord, to be sober, to be vigilant, because of Satan's power and subtlety. And so, Lord, grant that sobriety of mind, that reverent spirit, as we come into thy more immediate presence, for all those that are round about thee are to be had in remembrance of thee and in reverence of thee. And so, Lord, we do thank thee for gathering us together. Oh, few in number compared to the multitudes in the world, but Lord, we are within the sacred compass of thy promised word, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. And so, Lord, do come in thine appointed ways and teach my soul to sing thy praise, for thou art dear to me. Remember each one in their particular pathways, in their spiritual experience, in their providential circumstances. Lord, we need thee as a God of grace. We need thee as a God of providence. We need thee at all times and all seasons. For Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. And so we pray that thou wilt suit thy favours and blessings and thy great goodness to each one present this night. Thou knowest the way we take, the path we walk in. And those unable to be here, through lawful reasons and affliction or afflictive dispensations. Lord, remember them where they are. And may they realize the Lord is omnipresent. And may they feel and know to be one with us in at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word, although not here in person, but here in spirit. And may the Spirit of the Lord God dwell among us. Lead us forth, Lord, by thy good Spirit, in the ministry of thy word. Oh, the sacred Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, and the anointing of thy Holy Spirit upon thy ministering servants to preach the everlasting gospel. And may, Lord, the testimony of each one of thy servants be well received, and may it be applied with divine power and accomplish that which is pleasing, Lord, to thee. And now we pray for those particular cases of our special needs. And to this end we pray for our dear friend and brother, Mr. Saunders. Oh Lord, we had not fully realized the extent of his very major operation of life. And we just desire to thank thee that thou hast spared his life and brought him safely through thus far. And may, dear Lord, thy healing hand be still upon him, and that in the coming days and weeks and months he may be completely restored and have the complete benefit of that major operation. Lord, thou art the good physician, and we plead thine own word. For thou didst say, I am the Lord that healeth thee. O Lord, how the psalmist prayed, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Lord, thou didst give to him thy healing mercies. And thou art the same. And we pray that thou wilt do the same for our dear friend and brother here. And so, Lord, may he be strengthened and supported and upheld for the good, the benefit, the continuance of thy cause and interest here. We pray, Lord, that others may be brought in from this vast number of people in Maidstone and the surrounding area. Lord, we know not how many thousands there are, but thou dost know. And oh, that thou wouldest quicken thy dead elect and bring them forth from the womb of the covenant and make them manifest that they are born of God, that their treasure is above. O Lord, do we pray thee, work mightily in this day and generation in which we live, a day of small things compared to a former day, but In wrath, remember mercy. Revive us, Lord, again. Turn us to Thee. Revive us again. May Thy mercy and Thy truth and goodness attend us and follow us all our journey through. Only Thou art leader be, and we still will follow Thee. We pray for Thy servant that at his resident here in membership, in his ministry here and in other causes where, Lord, there Thou dost send him, and pray that he might be strengthened by the mighty God of Jacob and being able to continue in the great work of the ministry and to know that his labour is not in vain in the Lord. And now, dear Lord, we thank Thee for every favour and blessing conferred upon us, compared to many in this world who live in fear and apprehension, who suffer much opposition, who suffer from the tyranny of ungodly men. O Lord, how great is Thy goodness to us, that we can live in peace, all our needs are supplied, every blessing and favour bestowed. We confess, Lord, we're not worthy in and of ourselves, but our worthiness is in the Lamb of God. And now, Lord, do make up in giving where I fail to ask. Oh, our shortcomings, Lord. Oh, how poor and needy we are. Yet we thank Thee and plead Thy word that Thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Remember the body of churches to which we are affiliated, not only in this country but abroad as well. And O Lord, may there be much good done in Jesus' precious name in the churches up and down the land, and those who hold office in the various committees and need much wisdom and understanding, especially those in the Bethesda Fund Committee and our dear brother here in the weighty matters and concerns regarding the way forward. But Lord, Thou art the way, the truth, and the life. And now, Lord, do hear us in heaven, Thy dwelling place. And when Thou hearest, O Lord, forgive, and help us to praise Thy great and holy name for every favour and blessing conferred upon us. We would praise and honour and glorify the name and the person of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God bless it forevermore. Amen.
Let us continue our worship by singing together. hymn 709. Hymn 709 to June Sorley, 231. The Lord that made both heaven and earth, and was himself made man, lay in the womb before his birth, contracted to a span. Behold, from what beginning small, our great salvation rose. The strength of God is owned by all, but who his weakness knows. Hymn 709, June Sorley 231.
Oh.
Lord, shall be pleased to help me this evening, dear friends. I would ask your prayerful and loving attention for words to be found in the chapter read, 12th chapter in the second book, the second epistle to the Corinthians. And we read verses 9 and 10. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong. Well, after much exercise of soul in seeking the Lord for a word this evening, I do feel graciously confirmed by the opening hymn, because there the apostle said, though I be nothing, in complete harmony with the first hymn. And then the hymn we just sung now, weakness and the strength of God. So the Lord leads and guides his dear people according to his sovereign will and good pleasure for the gracious comfort and consolation of his dear people in their tribulations and afflictions and infirmities that we are subject to in bodies that are tabernacled in flesh and blood. Now, I realize that these words are well known. They are well known in the letter of them, but you see, as the Lord leads his people on and brings them into different straits, then the word is not in word only, but it's in power, and it's in the Holy Ghost, and it's in much assurance, because when the Lord's people are brought into these straits, they need a foundation stone. They need the Lord. They need his word. Because this is our hope. This is our trust. This is our all. The word of God. And when it's brought with divine power into our soul by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, then it is a sustaining word. It's an upholding word. It's a comforting word, and we believe the Lord will bring us safely through for his honour and glory and for our spiritual good and profit in our own souls. So may we this night be led by the Spirit into this truth as it is in Jesus, and find a fresh dimension and a depth of favour and blessing here felt upon our spirit that perhaps we had not known here before. Well, the apostle then, you see, he was so favoured, and this man that went to heaven or went to paradise, by revelation and vision, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter, of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in thine infirmities. Well, this man then, of course, was Paul himself. And no one knows ourselves greater than ourselves. It's the spirit of man that's in man that knows the man. And it's only God, Almighty God, that knows more about us than we know ourselves. Because the Lord knows from the beginning to the end. We know from the beginning to the present day. We don't know the future. And therefore we have to live by faith, independent of dependence upon God. Now living faith can only act under the divine spirit of truth. The faculties of faith, the hear and ear, the see and eye, the speaking mouth, the feet and legs to walk and to run in the ways of God, the hands to handle and feel. Dear friends, faith only acts according to truth. Nothing else. Nothing more, nothing less. And the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And so a God-wrought faith in the soul will lay hold upon these divine truths and plead them before the God of heaven. Lord, thou hast said. And you will need it to be accomplished in your own experience. And this is why God brings his word to our understanding. This is why we wait upon him in his word, day by day, and the services of the sanctuary, to bring the word of his grace with power into our soul. Because we wait upon the Lord, friend. You won't wait in vain. If we honour the Lord in waiting upon him in his word and at the throne of grace, he won't forsake us. He won't neglect us. He won't leave us. No. For those that honour me, the Lord has said, I will honour. And faith believes it, because God has spoken it. Faith is a very wonderful grace. As I said, it believes everything that the Lord says. And what else does it do? It rejects everything the devil says. Rejects it. Oh, dear friends, and so the apostle was so highly favoured in his soul. But then he had to come back to the earth. He had to come back within the confines of his mind and heart and spirit living here on this earth. Following Christ, yes, fulfilling the office that he'd been called to. And so the Lord gave him a cross. He gave him a thorn. He gave him the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And friends, the Lord's dear people have a cross. Now we're not told what this thorn was. We're not told. God has seen according to his sovereign will not to tell us. I know men have speculated over the years, but friends, that won't satisfy a living soul. We don't want speculation, we want truth in the inner part. Now you can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And so the dear man of God had a cross. And friends, if we're the Lord's dear people, we shall have a cross. And we'll have to carry it. The Lord Jesus had a cross, and his dear people have a cross. And friends, if we don't suffer with him, we shall never be glorified together. But if we suffer with him, then we shall be glorified together. And this, friends, is according to the eternal word of God. Well, the thing was this, lest I should be exalted above measure. Even the most favoured person, you see, they would exalt themselves. They would be, shall I say, proud of what the Lord has done, and boast in their own strength of what the Lord has done for them. God will always have the glory, friends. He won't give it to another, nor his praise to graven images. He's jealous of his holy majesty and power. He's a holy, just, jealous God. He'll have all the glory and all the praise, because he does everything that we stand in need of. So, the Apostle Paul then would glory in mine infirmities. He gloried in them. This is what he gloried in. Because you see, these things came and he suffered them for the Lord's sake. Now the apostle was one that laboured under infirmity and weakness. He tells us in the 10th chapter, writing concerning Paul, his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. So his bodily presence was weak. Naturally speaking, he was a infirmed and a weak man. Now you can take the contrast with his brother Peter. He was a strong, rugged fisherman that drew 153 fish in that great net to shore. He was a strong man. Paul laboured under this infirmity. And he tells us in writing the first chapter of Corinthians, he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul couldn't boast in his own strength because he didn't have any. He was weak. The Lord had weakened him. And like David said, the Lord weakened my strength in the wine. And the Lord does this, friends, with his people. Why? To keep them totally dependent upon him. If we were strong in our own strength, friends, we'd soon wander from the gospel. Why? We would become completely independent. We don't need the Lord. We can manage ourselves. Friends, that will never do. The Lord will touch you here, or touch you there, or across here and a loss there, to keep you and me dependent upon him. And this is not just for a year, or annually, or weekly. This is daily. Because the Lord gives grace and strength equal to the day, every day. So, these things then that to the apostle knew, he desired, and you can understand that naturally speaking, he prayed that the Lord would take this away from him. He felt that he could get on much better if he didn't have this thorn. If he didn't have this cross, he felt that he'd get on better, preach better, live a more godly life. No, friends, no. The Lord didn't remove it. It was there to the end of his days. But the Lord gave him a promise. And friends, this promise stands today. Oh, the exceeding great and precious promises that the Lord gives to his dear people. Has the Lord given you a promise, friends? Oh, this wonderful promise. Oh, my, he said it. The Lord said it. The Lord spoke it into his very heart and soul. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Living faith has an ear to hear what the Spirit will say unto the churches. And so the Lord spake to dear Paul. I hope and trust the Lord has spoken to us. And how does he speak to us today? You may say, well, I can't really trace or claim anything that I hope the Lord has spoken in any particular way. Friends, the Lord is speaking to us day by day through his word. And if the Spirit brings it into your heart and applies it, then the promise is there in your heart. And so, friends, as we wait upon the Lord, he is speaking to us. He's speaking to us tonight, friends. He's here. He's omnipresent. His Spirit remains among us. And he's speaking through the precious Word of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. View this, friends, as the Lord's speaking to us. Why do you come to chapel? Why do you come to the house of God? To hear what the Lord will speak. It's not the voice of man, friends. It's the voice of God. May you lose sight of the instrument and see no man save Jesus only. And the word spoken to be the word of God with power to your soul. This is the exercise of the living faith. So this sacred promise that God gave to Paul, he can give to you, friends, tonight. Perhaps he's given it to you in your pathway as you're called to walk through the waters of affliction, the fire. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And the floods, they will not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You see, dear friends, when, there comes a time when, you see, we pass through floods and through fire, but the Lord brought us out into a wealthy place, spiritually. The spiritual wealthy place. This is the effect, friends. This is the wonder. This is the purpose of God's dealings. Now, viewed naturally, human nature would say it's a paradox. When I am weak, then am I strong. I don't understand it. Human nature says, it never will, friends. But you'll understand it under divine teaching. Because the Lord will make you feel your weakness. You'll labour under it. And the Lord then will give you his strength. What for? Not to live a worldly life in this sin-cursed world. No. The Lord, he awaken you to all the things of time and sense. And he'll strengthen you for the things of God. And thus you will be able to serve him and honour him and obey him in your day and generation. Because God will always have a people. I know the remnant is very small, but it's according to grace. Oh, the election. You see, they obtain grace. The grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, this is our sufficiency. And the Lord gives it to us to enable us to serve and honour, obey him in the church of God, in our generation, to honour the Lord. And so he weakens us in self, and he strengthens us in spirit. And some of us, friends, have to live like this, and have done for years. The Lord's dealings, it's the Lord's sovereign way. And friends, he keeps his servants low, dependent, totally dependent, for grace and strength and all needed help, because there's always services in front. We can look back over many years and say, having obtained help of God, we have continued to this day. But what about the future? What about tomorrow? We need the Lord. We need his strength. And so this, you see, that is a paradox to flesh and blood naturally, is so well understood. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Well, the Christian worthies knew this. Oh, they did. Paul writing concerning those godly men and women, and he speaks a very particular word concerning them, and of course the prophets as well, who through faith subdued kingdoms. You can think of Deborah and Barak. Wrought righteousness. You can think of Abraham. Obtained promises. You can think of the Apostle Paul. Stop the mouths of lions, you can think of Daniel. Quench the violence of fire, you can think of the three Hebrews. Escape the edge of the sword. Now this is it. Out of weakness were made strong. These are the Christian worthies. Out of weakness, their own felt weakness, they were made strong. What by? The mighty power of God, the strength of God. And then they could turn to flight the armies of the aliens. They could fight the good fight of faith and win and gain the day. So these godly, those that suffered so much for the name and cause of Christ, they knew a secret that the world knows nothing of. Out of weakness were made strong. Now, there's a secret, of course, here. Blessed secret. And the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. Blessed secret. Paul says in the 13th chapter, verse 4, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, for though he was crucified through weakness, you've sung of that in the hymn, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. So you see the wonderful example that is set before us here in the person of Jesus Christ. He was crucified through weakness as a man. He yielded obedience to the will of God his Father. He did not resist the soldiers or Pilate or Caiaphas. You see, he submitted. And as a man, the man Christ Jesus, he yielded to the will of God and suffered in this way, crucified for weakness. Now, he could have smote the soldiers when they came to crucify him. He could have prayed to God and angels would be sent to completely slay those men. No, weakness. And you see, this is the to show and for the Lord's dear people to realise and know that they will know this weakness because the Lord did. You see, there's no pathway, dear friends, that you're called to walk in but what the Lord has gone before. He's gone before. He knows exactly how we are because of his own personal experience. Although he's the mighty God, yes, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, mightier than the mighty waves of the sea. Oh, the mighty waves of the sea. God is mightier. The strength of God is owned by all. Who is weakness knows. So, the dear Redeemer then, crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. He was raised from the grave by the power of God. That's what brought Christ from the grave, the power of God. The power of his holiness. Raised triumphant. And so, you see, we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. We shall live by God's power, the power of God's Holy Spirit. And that divine power enables us to serve, honour, praise, preach, so that the kingdom of God's grace continues and will to the end of time. And you see, you read of those who were brought very low. The psalmist says, I was brought low, but the Lord helped me. Hezekiah, oh, he brought so low. And yet when the Lord turned his captivity, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. And yet, you see, he said before, labouring under these afflictions and infirmities and sin and opposition from Sennacherib. All these things are against me. That was Jacob that he said, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Jacob said, all these things are against me. Daniel had to go into the lion's den. The three Hebrews into the burning fiery furnace. And the Lord went to Calvary. Ah, he went to Gethsemane. And there he poured out his holy soul to God. Look at the weakness of those three favoured disciples. Christ was in agony of soul. And what were they doing? Asleep. Weakness. Oh, friends, weakness. But you see, the day of Pentecost came very shortly after. The divine power, the baptism of the Spirit. And you see right through the Acts of the Apostles, the sacred effect of the power of God in the souls of the apostles as they went forth and preached. But weakness, oh, I've stood amazed sometimes. How could those three favoured apostles be asleep when Christ was suffering agony in the Garden of Gethsemane? Friends, we haven't got one stone to throw. Our flesh is weak. But oh, the power of God, granted and given to us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Now Paul gloried in infirmity. Or rather, glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Then, you see, with the power of Christ resting upon him. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all that the Lord requires me to do. And here it also speaks of necessities. Well, one of the necessities was, necessity is laid upon me to preach. The Lord laid that necessity upon him. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And so, dear friends, there are these necessities. And this is one of them. The Lord laid it. How could he escape it? How could he flee from it? Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. You see, friends, it proves that we're in the hands of the Lord. All my time shall ever be ordered by his wise decree. We're not our own, we're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. And so he strengthens his dear people, he heals his people. David prayed, heal me, for my bones are there. Oh, friends, and the dear Redeemer, you see, on the cross, not a bone of his was broken. No, a bone of his could never be broken, because the Paschal Lamb in the Old Testament, under the Levitical dispensation, not one bone of the Paschal Lamb could be broken. Being a type of Christ, not a bone of his should be broken. It never was. Never could be. But Psalm 22 tells us the effect of the cross. The effect of it for those 6 hours. And what was it? All my bones are out of joint, every one. You see, dear friends, take the pain of one bone being out of joint. One bone in your body that's out of joint, it'll cause you pain, distress. Every bone of Christ was out of joint as he hung for 6 hours upon the accursed tree. You see, my grace is sufficient for thee. The grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. The poverty of his sufferings, the poverty of his afflictions, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. And so, dear friends, the Lord knows our infirmities and weaknesses, for we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. A merciful and gracious high priest. Oh, friends, it's all in the dear Redeemer, his grace. It's his grace. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. The law was given by Moses, truth, that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And friends, that fullness of grace that's in Christ can never be exhausted. Satan may tempt you and say, well, the grace of God suffices the saints of old. But there won't be any grace for you. Friends, Satan's a liar. Yes, my grace is sufficient for thee. And that applies to all of us, friends, tonight. The sufficiency of his grace. It suffices saints of old. And it suffices still. Now the Lord gives grace. The Lord gives grace. It's a blessed gift. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from heaven, the grace of God. And the last verse in this epistle, you see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Be with you all. Not one is missing, friends. This embrace is all the Lord's dear people. So, the dear Redeemer endured. Yes, he endured the cross, and he despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your mind. Now he gives grace equal to the day. And what else does he give? If he gives you grace to enable you to continue, to press on, to serve the Lord, to honour the Lord, then the Lord will give you glory when you die. He gives grace to enable you to follow Christ the crucified. And then he gives glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So, friends, you see, suffering with Christ, glorified together, this gives a sweet and blessed assurance in the soul of the child of God. A blessed God-wrought assurance in all the Lord has done. Well, dear friends, these sacred truths, what are they? Well, they're strong meat, aren't they, to the believer? It's milk for the newborn child of God. And as Peter was commissioned of the Lord, feed my lambs, feed my sheep in the church of God. And this is what these precious truths do. They feed and nourish and strengthen you in the faith. And therefore, you see, His strength will enable you to do all that he requires. For when I am weak, then am I strong? Well, the Lord's people know the secret. And the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his salvation. Well, we must draw to a close, dear friends. May these sacred, holy, blessed, eternal truths be brought with divine power by the Spirit into our hearts, and then we will prove that divine sufficiency day by day. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 95. Hymn number 95 to the tune Irish 160. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, the guilty worms might rise. Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and die. What glad return can I impart for favours so divine? Oh, take my all, this worthless heart, and make it wholly thine. Hymn 95, June, Irish 160.
we would acknowledge with gratitude thy great goodness, as we have been favoured to gather together around thy dear feet with thy precious word. May it be applied with divine power, and be for our comfort and consolation. Grant us grace, Lord, more grace, equal to the dying. And now do conduct us safely to our homes in peace. And may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.